With Steve Scherr, I'm Marcy Silman, and you're tuned to The Record. In 2010, New York Times chief dance writer Alistair McCauley triggered a national debate. In a review of the opening night performance of New York City Ballet's Nutcracker, McCauley wrote that the dancer cast as the Sugar Plum Fairy looked as if she'd eaten, and I quote, one sugar plum too many. The ballerina in question was principal dancer Jennifer Ringer. What casual readers didn't know was that Ringer had a long history with eating disorders. She'd even been fired from the dance company in 1997 for being overweight. Ringer eventually found her way back to New York City Ballet. She finished her long career there last month. She's written about this and more in a new memoir called Dancing Through It, My Journey in the Ballet. I asked Jennifer Ringer when she first decided to be a professional dancer.
I was on the Kennedy Center stage, you know, dancing to Tchaikovsky. And it was kind of that experience that it kind of changed things for me. It felt like, it did feel like a light came on inside of me, and that from that moment on, I wanted to dance for a living.
When did you know that you actually could do it, that you had what it took to be a professional ballerina?
I guess I started getting inklings of that when I was in Washington, D.C., because, you know, it was a big city. There was more competition. The school had such a great reputation. And I started getting inklings that I was one of the ones with talent that, you know, the teachers had their eye on. But, you know, up until the last minute when I finally got offered a job, it was a question mark. I mean, the dance field, it's really hard to get a job. And it feels like so much of it is timing and luck. And, you know, you don't know why some people get jobs and some people don't. So I really didn't know. It felt very tenuous until I actually finally was offered a contract.
You were 16 when
Yes.
you were offered a contract at New York City Ballet. You were really young. I mean, a lot of people don't even have driver's licenses at
Right.
the time that somebody offered you a full-time job.
Right. Yes.
What did that feel like?
Well, at the time, you know, it was a dream come true. It was everything that I had been wanting for what felt like my whole life. When you're 16, you feel like it's been your whole life. So it was a dream come true. I was ecstatic. And it didn't occur to me that it was a job. It was just my dream. You know, and soon after that, of course, I started realizing that actually dancing all day for a living was actually hard and that there was a work aspect to it. But, you know, initially, I was a teenager and I was getting to be a ballerina. It was amazing.
And that's when your life sort of took a darker tinge. That rosy, tulle-covered, sparkly life got a little bit harder for you. And mm-hmm. you describe it as noticing that you didn't have the kind of maybe same body, ballerina body, that a lot of the mm-hmm. girls in the company had.
You know, there's the perfect ballet body that people describe that has the small head and the long neck and the short torso and the long legs. And, you know, there's this ideal out there. And when I was younger, I was very kind of, I wasn't critical. I don't know, maybe I was very Pollyanna. I just kind of, I was happy. I figured everybody was happy. And so I figured I was great. And, you know, it was just kind of my mentality. But then, you know, as I started going, you know, I was becoming a woman and my body was changing. I started getting curves and it was uncomfortable for me because I realized that I suddenly wasn't fitting the mold that I was supposed to fit. Mm-hmm. And I was used to kind of being successful. And I don't say that egotistically, but I was very much a perfectionist and I would, you know, I was good at being good and I made straight A's and I danced well, I worked hard, you know, so when suddenly my body started not being right, not being correct, not being what I thought should be perfect, I started kind of being uncomfortable.
I'm curious, that notion of the perfect body, did that come from you internally, or is that everybody else looked a certain way and you, Jennifer Ringer, looked different?
I think a lot of it came internally. I think it was my own struggles, my own perception of what I needed to live up to in order mm-hmm. to still be the perfect girl. You know, it wasn't like people were noticing these curves and reacting in horror, even though I got to the point where I was so self-focused that I felt like everybody was reacting in horror to my appearance. It started to consume all my rehearsal hours and my performance hours. I kind of stopped liking to dance.
You also stopped eating.
Yes, I did. And I went through an anorexic period where I hardly ate. Yeah. The way I've always thought about it, it was kind of an emotional illness that I had. And I, you know, when I wasn't eating, I did get very thin. And then I was kind of happy about that, the fact that I looked too thin. And, you know, it just became kind of this unhealthy cycle. And I didn't really care that I was feeling a little weak too, you know. But then it did flip over for me into kind of compulsive overeating, where I would just kind of eat out of control and then try to, you know, exercise like crazy in order to try to compensate for the eating I had done. And it kind of went over for me into more of a binge and purge kind of thing.
You had started to gain weight.
Yes.
What kind of messages were you getting at that point in time?
Unfortunately, there's just a lot of silence attached to it all. You know, they were the artistic administration was definitely frustrated with me and confused by it, because to all intents and purposes, I was very successful and things were going fantastically. So there was no reason I should be unhappy. So I think they were confused. I think they were frustrated. You know, also with eating disorders, a hallmark of it is the person experiencing it a lot of times feels so much shame. And so I didn't tell anybody that I was having these eating disorders. I would say that I didn't know what was going on, you know. So I did, you know, to my detriment, I lied about it. I didn't tell anybody.
At that time, were there any psychological resources, counseling that was available within the company itself?
At that time, there wasn't really. There wasn't a lot of understanding about it either then. And I think still it's a hazy issue. I think it's really hard to understand unless you've experienced it.
You were fired from the company. You were they told you were too fat. They fired you.
Yeah.
That had to happen. I mean, you had to hit that skid.
Yes, yes. And it was really, you know, at the time it devastated me, but now looking back on it, it's the best thing that could have absolutely happened. And they gave me actually a great deal of chances before they finally let me go. Having to actually quit dance and having to leave the world and discover who I was as a person, not as a dancer, was the best thing that could have happened to me.
You became, I guess, notorious a few years ago because the New York Times chief dance critic wrote something incredibly mean. You were performing in the opening night of Nutcracker, New York City Ballet. You were the Sugar Plum Fairy. And he wrote of you that you looked as if you had eaten one sugar plum too many. You call this Sugar Plum Gate. You had recovered at this point. You were back. You were principal dancer. It's opening night, which is a big honor for a dancer. What was that like to, you know, pick up the newspaper and see this?
That was kind of an amazing moment for me. And I say it that way because it sounds horrible. And it was obviously not fun to pick up the paper and read that about myself, especially after all I had gone through. But what was great was that I did read it. And, you know, I had that moment where I was like, oh, this is horrible. But then I thought, you know what? Okay, this is his opinion. I've danced at this weight for years and I'm okay. And he can have his opinion. It doesn't affect who I am. It doesn't affect my self-worth. You know, I kind of went through all the lessons I had learned and I was okay. And it was kind of a big moment of triumph for me personally in my living room, you know, to have that little moment. But then it did spark this huge controversy. You know, I think it opened up actually a great dialogue.
There has been, as you mentioned, this image of what a ballerina in particular, but any dancer is supposed to look like. And the implication is that if maybe your muscles are more muscular looking, if you're a woman, for a man it's a little bit different, but if you're a woman whose muscles are a little bulkier rather than long, then you don't represent that same image of beauty. It's an interesting thing to contemplate.
It's true. And it's not fair, I don't think. And not that ballet is fair, but it's an unfortunate thing to say to a student, oh, you don't have the proper body, so you can't have a career. Because, you know, you look around at the principal roster of every major company in America and you see every body type represented. And yes, they are fit and they're athletic and they're in shape. But, you know, you've got the Amazonian body type, you've got the short and stocky, you've got the sylph, you've got the womanly. I mean, you really do have every body type and they're all amazing dancers and they all deserve to be dancing on stage. But unfortunately, it's a myth that, you know, even dancers kind of believe in.
Jennifer Ringer retired from New York City Ballet last month. Her new memoir is called Dancing Through It, My Journey in Ballet. It's The Record.